It's really wonderful to be with you tonight. My heart is so filled with hope and expectation for what God is about to do in America. But for this teaching, just virtually, moments before I came out to sit at my desk, the Lord spoke to me and told me what I was to share with you. And I can barely talk because I feel so tearful over it. This is very important to him. There are just times and moments when he will give some messages to me that are so important to him that I just get weepy and I can't seem to pull myself out of it. Tonight is one of those nights. So forgive me in advance. Many, many years ago, I'm talking probably 43, 44 years ago. No, probably closer to right at 40 years ago. I was studying the book of Galatians. And I was studying it in the Greek, just taking that book literally word for word and studying it diligently in the Greek. I would spend hours every day studying that book because he asked me to do that. And every night there would be a special impartation given by him. But after I finish the main course of study, I spent a week just meditating on each chapter of the book of Galatians. And precisely at midnight, he would come and get me and take me to heaven and teach me the book of Galatians himself. I never knew that he was going to do that. He never took me back to my body, for instance, and said, "I'll be here to visit you tomorrow night." So I never knew that he would be coming back again after the previous night. But it turned out that every night he would take me to heaven and he would talk to me and teach me the book of Galatians, chapter by chapter. So each night he would cover the chapter I had been meditating on all day. And this particular night, I had been meditating on Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Well, I should say chapter 2, period. But he took me to heaven and he went through that chapter with me. And then we settled in on verse 20. He told me what the church was teaching about that verse. And he told me what it really means. What Paul was really referring to, which isn't quite what the church teaches. I don't want to say that the church was wrapped up in a really big false doctrine. That's not what I'm trying to imply. But you look at a beautiful, beautiful oak tree, and really from the roots up to the crown of that tree, the oak tree is a very, very beautiful tree. And the way the church has been teaching Galatians 2:20 would be equated to looking at the trunk of the tree and thinking, boy, what a beautiful tree. What an astounding tree. I mean, talk about a trunk. That is the most beautiful trunk I've ever seen. And they're totally missing the greatest beauty of this passage of Scripture. And that's what I'm going to share with you tonight. I have to say, if I were to really be honest about my walk with God, I hunger and thirst for him in ways I don't know how to tell any human being. This is something that happened from the very first days of my walk. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it became even more intense. I hunger and thirst for God, to know him as I am known. But here in Galatians 2:20, we have one of the most profound promises in the Bible. When you understand the kingdom fullness, you can read the entire array of Paul's writings, and what you're going to see is that every book somehow at some point focuses in on what is known as union with Christ. But this passage of Scripture says it in a more profound way than most. So let's look at this and move on. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. In him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ, the Messiah, lives in me. In the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in adherence to and rely on complete trust in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I've been crucified with Christ. Let's start there. I have seen the crucifixion of Christ so many times, in so many ways, so many aspects of it, taught so much about it, and what he went through, what it meant to us, it's all right here in the Bible. There's nothing hidden, really, except the Holy Spirit has to reveal some aspects to us through the Scripture. But instead of fearing being co-crucified with Christ, and the Greek word speaks of a literal virtual co-crucifixion of the believer with Christ. What I think I think some ministers don't even know what to do with this verse, really. But theologians want to make it a verse for the ever now, the ever moment, the now moment, every moment from the time of salvation till the time that we are taken to heaven. And that simply is not what Paul said. It does not mean that, but he's revealing something to us about his own personal walk with Christ. And in his writings, he does eventually help us understand that this is for the mature in Christ, not for the babe. This is something he entered into. He was co-crucified with Christ. You say, well, I don't understand. So did they, like, put him on a cross? No. No, but we have what Paul referred to in the book of Romans, a sinful nature. Romans 6, 7, and 8, he refers to this nature of sin, this sin principle that is in every human being. When he is talking here about this co-crucifixion, he is talking about the fact that in him, this nature of sin has been crucified. It has been eradicated. If there is 1% of the worldwide church from the day that the church began to this present hour, if 1% has entered into this place, that figure might be high. Very, very few enter into this. Not because God would not have it so. He would have it that every believer could enter into this crucifixion, this co-crucifixion with Christ. But it takes hunger. It takes thirst. It takes passion. It takes obsession to know him. Obsession to walk with him. Passion that is so deep, so all-consuming, so compelling, that you, aside from the instruction of the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't even know what to do with it because it consumes you so completely. You weigh everything you do against the possibility of this life in Christ. And I've spent my whole life in this place. Many times he would show me visions, or he would appear to me. As I said, it started with this week that he was taking me to heaven every night. many times after that, he would come to me and let me experience what it meant to walk with Jesus in a state of co-crucifixion. The sinful nature is eradicated. The lower nature of the believer is all but neutralized. After the initial shock, that neutralization, I don't know what else to call it, so please forgive me on that, but this continuation of this dying process continues. And as it does, he will continue extracting the lower nature that he might fill you with his nature. But there is a time, a crisis moment, when he literally puts you on a spiritual cross and you experience much of what Christ experienced on the cross. Now, there are some things, for instance, with my flesh that I did not experience, although there were many things with my flesh I did experience. I wasn't whipped with a whip, but my flesh was temporarily so neutralized it was of no value to me at all. Jesus went through suffering, deep suffering, and I was shown exactly what that meant when he was crucified. The enemy was allowed to do such a phenomenally evil thing to his mind. It would, I don't know, I think it would be mind-blowing to most to know. And I won't go into that tonight. But I was taken through that. During this whole process that I went through in 2018, I was experiencing things in my crucifixion that I never would have ever guessed, not even with all the visitations that I've had on this subject. And believe me, I've had many, 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 not just a few, many visitations over this very issue. I just was not prepared. I never dreamed that a human being could receive the grace to go through such a horrific trial. But he called me through that. And that's why he came to me, talked to me about the crucifixion, showed me so much about his own crucifixion. I have no idea how many times I've seen the Lord on the cross in his crucified state. I don't know how many times that has happened. So many times I lost count a lot of years ago. Not because it wasn't meaningful to me, it's just that there has been so many. They have all been meaningful to me. Very meaningful. You can't see what he endured without loving him more than you ever thought possible to love, even God. So Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. In him, I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I, but Christ It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The way anyone would know if they actually live there or not is that when you enter into that state, you don't go through normal human emotions. You don't go through normal human responses. From the time you enter into that place, you walk in deeper and greater rest on a day-to-day basis than what you knew the day before. Your love for the Lord is His love through you. And your heart is often captivated by this love to such a degree you really don't know anything else except Him. There are many times in a Christian's life, once they have, well, I'm going to share one little thing with you. I may never share this again because I don't fully understand it yet. And I think that, to be fair, you would probably want to be able to explain it to people so that they are not afraid of it, but they can understand it. But when you are in a crucified state, you are crucified. You know, the lower nature is crucified. There is a part of you that is taken to heaven, and you live there the rest of your days. And that has happened to me. A person who has gone through this crucifixion, in fact, there's going to be a whole company of people that are going to be revealed in these last days, and they're going to be called the crucified ones. From these people, you may at times see the light of His glory beaming from their faces, from their whole bodies, or maybe even just from their hands, right where the nail scars were. I can tell you, as one who has gone through this, that there are times when special anointings will come upon me that I feel the pain of the nail scars in my hands. The same, coming from the same place that I've seen the glory shine from my hands. I'm telling you some of the physical manifestations, and they're just really not nearly as important as what happens to your heart and what happens to your mind. I've always had a mind that is so busy. I'm always craving to learn. I've been like that since I was a young child. I can't ever remember not being that way. Just a craving to learn. And a passion to have wisdom. But when you are in the crucified state, there is a rest that comes upon your mind, because now your mind is in His. So what He wants to impart to you is what He imparts. You don't have that extreme busyness of mind anymore. And I haven't had that now since 2018, when I was crucified. what's happened between then and now is that more and more of the mind of Christ is continuing to dominate my mind. It is not at its maximum yet, but we're headed there, and he has shown me what it's going to be like when I get there, when I get to that place. But where I am right now is exactly what he wrote about. Our life really does begin to be nurtured by the force of faith in a way that the average believer does not experience. The umbilical cord is cut from me to the world. That was done some time ago. I walk in a bubble you can't see. But when that bubble was placed around me, I couldn't believe how different my life became immediately. The only reason I know the bubble exists is because he opened my spiritual eyes to see it. And I asked him why that was put around me. He said, "You are no longer of the world. You live in me. And to keep you protected, I put a bubble around those who enter into this state of co-crucifixion. There really, truly is a separation from the world that I don't know necessarily how to explain to people. I suppose if you're more mature and you understand the higher things of God, I could probably sit down and explain it to you. But if not, you would probably have difficulty understanding. I can be sitting at times, just sitting, thinking about the Lord, when suddenly I'm surrounded by heaven. The music of heaven, the atmosphere of heaven. Sometimes heavenly visitors come with that environment. Sometimes I find myself in heaven more than on the earth. But it's like you are ever in this transition of Christ's kingdom taking you over, owning you more completely, and more completely, on an ongoing basis until the day you go home to be with the Lord. The fellowship with Christ is so sweet. It is so pure. It is so unbelievable. The love is the most pure essence I know how to describe. His love is so pure, so beautiful, so faithful, so trustworthy. He is not man that can tell a lie, so he will never tell you anything that is not absolutely true. And I have to admit that when you walk in this place, people that love you and people that you love have difficulty with you because you really are different. They know it. They sense it. They want to keep bringing you back down to the lower level so they know how to relate to you. But rather than be hurt by it, you just simply understand. You know where you walk. You know with whom you walk. And as pure as he is, you want to be also. And you can't be that by entertaining the world. If I get too close to the world, I find myself repenting. I can't stand the feeling of the world, of the spirit of the world. I just hate it. I despise it. Your relationship to the life of the world changes dramatically. Satan, who is the king of that sphere, hates you with a brand new passion. He no longer tries to tempt you. He's too busy trying to destroy you. He knows that if you have made it into this place in God, the chances of him tempting you to anything is nil and none. So he doesn't, at least with me, he doesn't even bother. But he does try to cause a lot of chaos, a lot of trouble, because he really does want to get rid of me. But when you walk in that place, it doesn't make you afraid. All you feel is an ever-increasing desire to go deeper in Christ, walk in a greater way with him, know him deeper than you did yesterday. Your whole life is spent that way. Why am I telling you this? Because if you're on this line tonight, you have an invitation. He would give this place to anyone who will. And what does that mean? It means that when you have set your will to dying that you may live in Christ, you are ready for him to bring you into that most holy place. Oh, and that's another thing. When you walk with him like that, you desire nothing but holiness. You love people you've never been able to love before. So the life of love is a beautiful life. But at this point where I'm walking right now, it's not the highest I can walk. Although I will reach that place, he's assured me of that. But the thing that I so cherish is his holiness. I love his holiness. And when you walk the crucified life, you are clothed in his holiness. If I were to say, if someone were to say, well, what do you think the atmosphere of this bubble that you walk in is? I would say, his holiness. I'm sharing this with you because he is making the clarion call. Come, draw nigh. Draw near. Don't wait. Come. Come now. Be willing to die. Be willing to let me crucify what is abhorrent to me, that which keeps you entrapped, held away from me in ways that neither you nor I want. Come. If you're online tonight, I would say that there is probably a special call on you to draw near to Jesus, to come into this illustrious and most holy place and spend the rest of your life there. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes years. But the harder you set your heart to having it, the faster you can go there. Because you really do need to die to walk in the exalted place of His glory, such as this. Not that you feel exalted. No, it's just the opposite. You feel humbled. And it's not your own humility. You feel humbled because you can't be in the presence of God in this way without a continual operation of His humility at work in you. The only reason that I said what I said is because He is the sovereign of all the earth. And He wants to capture His bride and bring you near. Let me pray for you. If you think that you would like Him to begin to teach you about this place, I want to pray for you. Lord, as you put this on my heart tonight, just moments before I came out to my desk, you know that the tears of love just exploded within my heart. How greatly you love your people. How greatly you love your church. You're passionately drawing your church, drawing your bride ever closer, that you may fill your bride with yourself, and that you may be all in all in her. I ask you to seal the hearts of those tonight that are hearing what I'm saying. You know that their heart has been quickened. I'm asking you to seal their hearts, Lord. That they may undergo the special operations of your Spirit of grace to bring them into this high and holy place. In your precious name. Amen.